Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shabbat Shalom. Before we are going to have our Seder, our order of service, that we do it once a year. We don't do it even on the right day necessarily, because we are wanting to focus on the person of the Messiah, who is the Lamb of God, which took upon himself the sin of this world. So if you will notice, I'm going to read a few verses from the book of Exodus. Many times over the years, people ask us who are Jewish people, why do the Jewish people celebrate the feast of Pesach, that is Passover, every year faithfully as a nation? Those of us who grew up in Jewish home know this very well. We have been religiously, you may say, every year on the 14th day of the month of Nisan, we gather together as families in order to celebrate Chag Pesach, the feast of Passover. Now, obviously, the temple is not in existence today. The altar is not there anymore. The priesthood are not there to function. The sacrifice are not there upon the altar. The blood is not shed upon the altar. And a question is immediately rising when one would ask our Jewish community, how would us as Jewish people have an assurance of forgiveness of sins? And so this feast of Pesach, that had been given to our people 3,500 years ago, became for us, for the nation of Israel, and not only for Israel, but for the whole nations of the world, a symbol, a picture. And God really is saying to Israel, and he's saying to the whole world, that one day he's going to send a certain person. And that person will come in the fullness of time in accordance with God's word, with the promises of the Hebrew prophets. And that this person will become the Passover lamb. And it is amazing, ladies and gentlemen, how true is the promises of God. He has given the feasts of the Lord to our nation, Israel, in order to serve as a lesson to the nation and to the nations of the world, that there is a need that man has. And the need is to be delivered, to be freed out of the judgment that we all deserve because of our own sin and sins. And so many years ago, we read in Scripture, in Exodus chapter 12, which we read every year, and the story is being told by our fathers to the children every year, religiously, faithfully, the story of the deliverance of our people from the land of Egypt. And so in Exodus chapter 12, God gave a clear instruction to Moshe, that is Moses, in order to bring the people of Israel out of bondage, in order to bring them into the promised land that he has in mind to give them. And so he gave a very clear instruction. And I want you to listen to me as I read the word of the Lord. This is not what I say. This is what the Hebrew scripture do say. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year unto you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb, he continued to say to Israel, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it, the lamb, in the evening. Ben ha'arbaim, we say in Hebrew. And they shall take of the blood. And they shall strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire with his head and his legs and his inner parts, his pertinence. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loin girdle, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste, because it is the Lord's Pesach, the Lord's Passover. And I will pass, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. And I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both men and beasts. Why? And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And verse 13 says something that is extremely important. And the blood shall be unto you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And I just stop here a little bit with the reading because of the time in which we are today, because we have also to continue on with the Seder. But I would like, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. We are so happy that you are here today with us. We are happy for two reasons. Number one is because you are able to listen to the word of God. If you are a believer in Yeshua, in the Messiah of Israel, and the Savior of this world, for you this message will be a message of encouragement to appreciate what Yeshua, Jesus, have done for you. But if you are not a believer as yet, and you are not sure if your sins are forgiven, and if you are not sure whether you are going to spend eternity in the presence of God or separated from God, this is a message to convict your heart in order that the Lord will help you to see how important it is to listen to the word of the Lord. You see, our forefathers were slaves in the land of Egypt. When a new king rose up in the land of Egypt, he caused our fathers, the Hebrews, to become slaves. And the Jewish people, the Israelis, the Hebrews, the descendants of Jacob, became slaves in the land of Egypt. And as slaves, they were there for 430 years in that land. And they really wanted to be delivered out of the bondage, out of slavery. What could they do? How could they be delivered out of this bondage? How could they be set free? And so they cry to God. They cry, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we need you to help us to deliver us out of bondage. It's very similar to us all human beings today. When we have problems in our life, when we have conflict in our life, the best thing to do is to turn our hearts to the God of all creation. To turn to Him and to ask Him to deliver us, to help us, to lead us on, and to help us to learn from Him and to ask Him what He is going to teach us, what He has for us. And so the people of Israel cried to our God, to the God of Abraham. And God gave them a promise. He heard them. He listened to their cry. He knew their burdens. He saw them. He watched them there. He saw how they were as slaves laboring and laboring and laboring and building all sort of cities, Pithom and Ramses, and all what they were laboring, and they were not treated too well in the land of Egypt. So God had mercy on them. And he wanted to bring them out. And he gave them sevenfold the promises that he will deliver them. As we read this in Exodus chapter 6, he said, I will bring you out from under their burdens. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. I will take you to me to be a people. I will be to you a God, and I will bring you into the land which I have promised unto you. And at the end, he says, I will give that land to you as an inheritance. God made a promises to Israel. I will, 7 times he said, I will take you out, and I will bring you into the promised land. Now, if he is going to do that, how is he going to deliver people who were in bondage, to bring them out of bondage into liberty, into freedom? How will he do so? Well, since he's God, he can do so in any way he wanted. He could cause anything to happen in the land of Egypt in order to bring his people Israel out of bondage. But God chose, ladies and gentlemen, beloved friends, God chose to teach Israel a lesson that will serve to be a picture of later on, many years later, when the Messiah will come and he himself will become that Lamb of God which will take away the sin of this world. And so God said to our forefathers in chapter 12, he says, listen, this month, this is the month of Aviv, this is the month of March or April in our days today. This month will become for you the beginning of all months in Jewish history. Springtime, the month of Aviv. We know it today as the month of Nisan, which is the first month of the nation of Israel. The new beginning. Israel is going to have a new beginning. They were all of them to go into the back of their homes. They were to take a little lamb. And they will bring it into their own homes, and they will keep it for 4 days. You notice that it says here, speak unto all the congregation of Israel, verse 3 of chapter 12 of Exodus, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take unto them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And so each one of the Hebrews went back. They brought a lamb into their homes and they kept it, according to this chapter, they kept it until the 14th day of the month of Nisan. For 4 days, ladies and gentlemen, according to verse 6, they have kept this lamb in their home. And you may ask, why did they keep this lamb for 4 days? Well, they needed to check this out, to see if this lamb was without blemish, if this lamb was suitable in order to become the one, the Passover lamb. God said, notice the instruction that he gave our forefathers. He says, verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. Without blemish. A perfect lamb. A lamb that had no defect in it. Maybe the eyesight might not be right. Maybe some parts of the body might not be in a right state. Maybe a broken leg. The lamb had to be without blemish. And there is a reason why the lamb had to be without blemish, because that lamb serves to become a picture of another who will come. Not a four-legged lamb, but a two-legged man by the name Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. When he would come, he would be the kind of a man that will have no blemish whatsoever in that person. He will be born to the Virgin Miriam. He will be born in the city of Bethlehem. He will live among the children of Israel in the land of Israel. He will be a perfect one, one that had no blemish in his life whatsoever. And why is it? Because if he is going to become a redeemer, he must have no sin in him at all. If this lamb is going to be the one that will be the reason and the cause whereby Israel was to go outside of the land of Egypt, this lamb had to be without blemish whatsoever. And so your lamb, he says in verse 5, shall be without blemish, no fault in it whatsoever. And for 4 days, beloved brothers and sisters and ladies and gentlemen, they checked that lamb. They played with it. They watched it. They have seen it. They have kept it within the home in order that they will have a good examination of that lamb. And again, I would like to suggest, ladies and gentlemen, that these 4 days of keeping that lamb remind us of the 4 years or 3.5 years of ministry of our blessed Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, who lived in the land of Israel. From Bethlehem to the Galil, from the Galil to Jerusalem, he lived among our people. And as they watched him, they could not find any fault in him. And you know why, ladies and gentlemen? Because he was the promised Messiah. He was the one that came, that was born to the Virgin Miriam. He was sinless. He was undefiled. He was separate from sinners. You see, all of us, you and I, were born in sin. We were inherited a sin nature. We all have inherited Adamic nature. That's why the Bible said to us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there is one man that was born without sin. In accordance with the promises of Israel, Micah 5 mentioned his birth in Bethlehem. Isaiah 7 said that his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. That's the promises of the Hebrew prophets. And so, the lamb to be without blemish, ladies and gentlemen. Then it said that your lamb shall be a male instead of a female. And we can read in the Gospels when Yeshua was born, he was a man child. He was born as a man here into this world. That lamb was supposed to be 1 year old, a young, young lamb. A few weeks ago, I had the privilege to speak to a group in a school, young children, young people, and they brought to the meeting a little lamb that I held in my hand. A 5-day-old lamb. And the tenderness that was found in him. The softness that was found in him. He was a very, very young lamb. Actually, it was a goat. But he was so tender and soft and so beautiful to hold in your hand. Innocent one. But the lady who was raising these goats and lambs told us that in a few months, this lamb is going to be killed. And someone is going to buy the meat of that lamb. And we just realized it dawned on us. It reminded us how our own forefathers had to realize that within 4 days after they picked up this lamb, they will ultimately will have to kill that lamb. And so we read here, the lamb is without blemish, the lamb is a male, the lamb is 1 year of age, and also the lamb will be one of the sheep or from the goats of the people of Israel. And that reminds us so clearly, dear friend, that if God is going to deliver people, to redeem people out of this condition, the one who will redeem us must be just like us. And that's why the Messiah had to become a man. He was born to the Virgin Miriam. He took union humanity with his divine nature. And he indeed became the man that's going to become the Lamb of God. And so notice that. After he says, you will take this lamb, everyone will take from his own household, they will bring this lamb, they will keep it for 4 days until the 14th day of the month of Nisan. And listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, according to verse 6, it says, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel will kill that lamb in the evening. Imagine how they must have felt. They had to kill. Each one of them will have to participate in the death of this innocent lamb, that they picked him up and they kept him for 4 days. It's reminding us, of course, that the responsibility of the death of the Messiah was the all human responsibility. All of us are responsible because the Messiah had to die. And so they will, all assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel will kill it in the evening. And notice what he says here in verse 7. And they shall take of the blood, and they will strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of their houses wherein they shall stay. So they all have to take a basin, to take something to dip it in the blood and to apply the blood upon the doorposts and the lintel. You might say it is such a strange requirement from God. How is it possible, God, that you ask us to kill this innocent lamb, to place its blood upon the doorposts and the lintel? Why is it, God, that you demand such a thing from us? But oh, beloved brothers and sisters, God is seeking to teach us a very important lesson. Someone had to be punished. Someone had to die in order that the rest of the nation of Israel will be able to come out of the land of Egypt. Someone had to shed its blood. And the lamb was the one that was chosen to shed its blood. The application, the responsibility of every family to go into the outside of the home and to put the blood upon the doorpost and the lintel of their homes while they are sitting inside and they feed on the meat of that same lamb which was killed, whose blood was placed upon the doorpost and the lintel of their homes. Now it was necessary, ladies and gentlemen, for the people of Israel to feed on that lamb. It was necessary for them to place the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. And it says here in our chapter, in Exodus chapter 12, that they shall eat the flesh in that night roasted with fire. And unleavened bread and bitter herb they shall eat that lamb. Don't eat it raw or sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head, his legs, and his inner part, his pertinence. And the question, of course, reminds us here that why is it to eat his head and his legs and his pertinence? Because the head and the legs and the pertinence have a symbol here. It speaks to us vividly. Volume it speaks to us. Why the head? Why the legs? Why the pertinence, the inside? Because that lamb, once again, beloved friend, represent before us someone who was going to come, who would be a sinless one, who will never know any sin, who will never do any sin, who will never have any sin in him whatsoever. That's why Exodus 12 said, his head. And we read of the Apostle Paul who said, he knew no sin, speaking about Yeshua the Messiah. We read about his legs. The Apostle Peter said he did no sin. And we read about his pertinence, his inside. And it will be the Apostle John who knew the heart of Yeshua the Messiah who said in him there was no sin. This is a clear picture of the coming Mashiach, the coming Messiah who will be sinless, who will be undefiled, who will be separate from sinners. And our people of old had to feed on that lamb while its blood that was shed is placed on the doorpost and the lintel of the homes of the nation of the people of Israel in the land of Egypt. Amazing picture, beloved friends. And so you notice that as we're just going to move along, and I want to come to the climax here as our time is moving along. It said, thus shall ye eat it in verse 11, your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. It shall be eaten in haste. Why? Because it is the Lord's Passover. This lamb whose blood is shed, whose food they eat, become the Lord's Passover. It become the way whereby God can now pass over, or Pasach in Hebrew, over the homes of the people of Israel, because they apply the blood on the doorposts and the lintel of their homes. And so we read in this passage, he says, I'm going to pass through the land. And I can just imagine our own people Israel sitting in their homes, feeding on the lamb. The blood is placed outside of the doorpost and the lintel of their homes. And God is saying, I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt that night. And I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beast. Why? Because I have something against the gods of Egypt, and I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now, do you think the people of Israel didn't take it seriously? Do you think they just said, you know what, God, I have decided that I'm not going to put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. Oh God, I don't believe that you are going to spare only those that the blood is on the doorpost and the lintel of their home. Do you think that they just simply carelessly said, I will neglect to obey the word of the Lord? No, ladies and gentlemen, our own forefathers made a decision. They say, if God said it, I'm going to do it. If God promised that he will deliver us, and he asked us to take a lamb and to kill it and to make sure that the blood is applied to the doorpost and the lintel, and I will feed upon that lamb inside my house, I will obey the word of the Lord. And they surely did. And you can just imagine, sitting in the home, celebrating the first Pesach, waiting to see what's going to happen any moment. In the middle of the night, God said, I am going to pass through the land of Egypt this night. Judgment is coming. I'm going to punish anyone that have not the blood applied to the doorpost and the lintel of their homes. And surely did. And the Bible tells us, ladies and gentlemen, that he says in verse 13, listen what he says, the blood shall be unto you for a token upon your houses. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. God had made a promise that if one will seriously, will be faithful enough to obey the word of God, God made a promise, when I see that blood of the lamb that had been killed, I can assure you, Israel, that I will pass over you. Let me reverse this for a moment. In other words, God said, if I will not see the blood, I will not pass over you. Judgment will have to come. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, listen. God is a holy God, but he's also a loving God. He's a just God, but he's also a gracious God. And giving us this picture here, what happened to our forefathers, the people of Israel, the Hebrews, 3,500 years ago, become for us today a lesson to teach us an important lesson today in our lives. God loved Israel, and God wanted them out of bondage. God loved the world, and he wanted the world to come out of bondage to sin. But how can he deliver us? How in the world can a holy God take me, take you, sinners by nature? How can he forgive our sins? Can we buy forgiveness with money? Can we buy forgiveness by doing good deeds? Can we get forgiveness from God by being good people? We know very well that all of us, the best of us, come short. We all seem to fail somewhere. Every one of us. So God provided a way. God found a way. And the way was through the promised Mashiach who would come, and he himself will lay down his life and become the Redeemer, the Deliverer of Israel, and the Deliverer of everyone that will believe on him. The Bible tells us in the book of John, in John chapter 1 and verse 29, we read, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of this world." You see, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, came about 2,000 years ago. And when he came to this world not to live a long life. He came to this world not to accomplish for himself something. He came because he loved you and he loved me. He loved the nation of Israel and he loved the nations of the world. And he knew that there was no other solution to our human problem. And the only solution is when he himself will pay the price for the sin of this world. That's the beautiful message of Pesach. Pesach is not only eating bitter herbs and unleavened bread. Pesach is the person of the Messiah who become a Passover lamb. This is Passover. Without him, without forgiveness of sins, how can we ever be right with a living and a holy God? And so the Bible tells us, "For God so loved the world," John chapter 3 and verse 16, "that he gave the Mashiach, the Messiah, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life." This is the Passover lamb, beloved ladies and gentlemen. That's why you and John saw Yeshua. He said, "Look, here's the Lamb of God. He will be the one who will take away the sin of this world." None of us will live here forever. One day we're going to have to meet the living God. We have to give an account. He's going to ask us, "What have you done with what I've offered you? I've offered for you the person of the Mashiach, my son, in order to forgive your sin. Have you embraced him? Have you taken him to your heart?" And those of us who are believers today will say, "It's not because of something good that I've done. It's because of what he have done for me." And 2,000 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, Yeshua was placed on a Roman cross. When they took him, this innocent man, and they hung him between heaven and earth, between two malefactors, and they accused him, and they railed at him, and they mocked him, and eventually they crucified him. And surely, there and there on that shameful tree, he cried and he said, "Eli, Eli, lama azavtani," in Hebrew, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And of course he knew the answer. God had to judge sin. The lamb had to be killed. The Messiah had to be judged. The blood had to be shed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. He said to our forefathers in Leviticus 17, in verse 11, "There is no other solution. Try it, and you will see that you will fail." The only way to receive forgiveness of sins and to have your sins passed over because someone took it for you is by faith in Yeshua, the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of this world. And so, beloved ladies and gentlemen, Israel obeyed. They took the blood. They placed it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of their houses, and they waited inside the houses. And when God at that night passed over the land of Egypt, every home that the blood was applied, they were spared from the judgment of God. And every home that did not have the blood applied upon the doorposts and the lintel of their home, they were judged. And you can read it here in Exodus chapter 12. Every home in the land of Egypt who did not have the blood, the firstborn was judged, because God must judge sin. And so how wonderful it is today. We can be here together and just read that text. And we're going to go in a few moments over the Seder, the order of service, in the Passover that our own family celebrate every year. And you can see that everything in the Passover Seder is pointing to the Mashiach, the Messiah, who have already come. And his name is Yeshua, who died for the sin of the world. And I hope today that you will consider, you will ponder that in your own mind, in your own heart. And you ask that question. Should I depart from this world today? If I would die today, where will I spend eternity? Will I be in heaven, forgiven, knowing that the Messiah Yeshua paid for my sin? Or will I be separated from God? Because sin can never enter into the presence of God. God loved us so much, and he have done something about this. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. May the Lord help us to listen to his words. Can we say amen to that?
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.